So I want to talk to you this morning about what are you tied to. Because I tell you the truth, God has taken us to another dimension. I'm so thankful for Him. If you are thankful for Him, lift up your hands and say, God, thank you so much that you are taking me on a journey. It is you. And I'm going. We're going to go. We're going to go, church. We're going to be positioned and set apart and be connected and be infilled and be strengthened beyond measure, because God is going to bond Himself to you in such a way where destiny and purpose can be fulfilled through you. But I'm going to tell you the truth. No one else will do. No one else will do. This is why we see men like Enoch. In Enoch's life, it was said of him, Enoch walked with God and Enoch was no more. Well, I'm going to tell you, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Have you walked with God for 300 years? No. Some of us walk with God for a day and we get bored and we get tired and we let our flesh control how we are going to respond to God and respond to others. I'm going to tell you, where God is telling you to go, it will blow your mind. But you're going to have to make a determination. My soul will magnify, will praise, will glorify, will bond itself only and completely to the Lord. To the Lord. To your Savior. So the Bible says that the Son holds everything together through the power of His Word. That's not the S-U-N. That is the S-O-N. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus is the only one that can form you into completion. And the reason so many of us struggle getting into the things that God has told us to is because we allow ourselves. Because I'm going to tell you, it is easier to bond to someone else than it is to bond to God. It is easier. But God knows that. So that's why He gives us these strong words in the Bible that says, nobody else but me. He says, I am a jealous God. Anybody else or anything else you put in my place, I call it an idol. And I will not have sons and daughters that worship idols. You can make anything an idol. You can make Facebook an idol. If your fulfillment, if your satisfaction, if your purpose comes out of anything other than God, it's an idol. And I pray this morning that we lay all idols down at the altar and we let God be God. I believe this is a prophetic day to break soul ties. How many of you know, just by me saying that word, you know you struggle there. You don't have to raise your hand, but some of us, I'm going to tell you, I'll throw it up. I can easily tie my emotions to people and things, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's hard to tie it to God. Sometimes it is. But can I tell you the truth? God is perfect at cutting between soul and spirit. The Bible says that. He's got a way of using His words that He can come into our life and cut between soul and spirit. And what it says when He's doing that is He's exposing in us what we just can't see is good. He can do it. But you got to let it fall to the ground so He can pick it up. I want to give you a really prophetic eyesight of what a soul tie is to the enemy. Because the enemy, he has a great desire to cause things inside of you to not be formed the way God wants them to. He wants that. He knows that if he can wedge into your personality or into your defense mechanism or into your reaction or into even your self-esteem, if he can wedge some things in there, what he knows is he's going to block the formation from what God wants it to be. So in Ezekiel 33, this one's not up there, and I'm just going to read this. And the last surface, you know, I just really felt warfare. So I'm going to start off exposing the enemy from the beginning. I'm just going to let you see why he wants you tied to something other than God. Why he wants you being able to lean on people and things and situations. I'm going to tell you, you can even be tied to a city in your past. I was. You can be tied to a city in your future. There is nothing that goes beyond the imagination of what the enemy can tie your emotions and tie your heart and tie your mind and tie your will to in such a way that it will completely keep you from walking into what God wants you to. Two good things can have demonic soul ties all around them. Two good people can be bonded together in the natural flesh. And I'm going to tell you, the flesh is not God. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to say from the very beginning, a husband and wife are one. Everybody say, we're one. So when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to her. When I'm talking to her, I'm talking to you. I am not talking about one marriage this morning. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you as one. That is the only place I can find in the Bible personally that I in any way see that a soul tie should be bound in our life other than to God. You might have your own ideas, but I've got the microphone, and I'm just going to tell you, I can't find one. I can't. Now, I find a lot of mentoring situations. I find a lot of training situations. I know God tells me to train up my child in the way that it goes, so when they grow up, thank God I finally grew up, you're not going to depart from it, but your children are to be trained. Don't tie your soul to them. You're going to damage them if you do. You are not responsible for their future. And if you think that, you're allowing that to go through you into your kids. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to think you're responsible for that. And you can never unfold God's plans in their life. Man, anytime I talk to God about my kids, I always say, God, they're yours. You know that, right? I am to train. He is to fulfill. If you're a mentor, you should have such a guard. I am to train. He is to fulfill. Do not get that out of order, because you have created a soul tie with something. God wanted to be holy. God wanted to be holy. And I love that envisionment with our children, because I'm going to tell you, you just teach them and you stand in faith and you watch what God do. You watch what God do. If you want to know if you have a soul tie with your children, start asking yourself, do I live in fear over their future? Do I live in fear over their past? Man, I used to live there. That is a tormenting place. But can I tell you the truth? The same God that began them will finish them if you let him and don't get in the middle of it. Don't tie them to something that's not God. Don't do that in their life. Love them enough to train them up in the admonition of what God is saying, of what God is doing, and they let God be God. Say, baby, God's going to do that. You know why? Because he said he would. Watch him. Watch him. Watch him do it for you. I'm going to tell you, you can blame a whole bunch of stuff on God. And God is big enough to be able to step into that place and say, yes, I said it. Yes, I said it. A lot of times we have that fear with our kids. Now, wow, I wouldn't even talk about this, but don't fear God's word over your kids. Don't think if you teach them the word of God that they're going to be disappointed. If you teach them the word of God, their life is going to go beyond what you can even imagine for them. Have faith in and over what God has put you as a steward over. Don't step in and think that's me. Don't ever think that's me. That's God. That's the goodness of God. I have no idea where I was right there. All right, so I'm just going to start over then. Oh, I know where I was. We're exposing the devil. I want to expose to you why the enemy comes in. A lot of times we don't know we're creating a soul tie. And good people make soul ties in their life. Man, I'm going to talk to you this morning about Abraham and Lot. Abraham's a good man. God called him a friend of God. God don't have bad friends. He's got good friends. Abraham was a righteous man. The Bible says Lot was righteous. It says, oh, righteous Lot, his soul was grieved. He lived in an environment that was not holy, and it grieved him. He was a righteous man. But I'm going to tell you what began to form from two righteous men, because they were walking the same path, and God wasn't telling them to, became a soul tie that God had to come in and say, let's separate. I need to cut this right here, because that is my place. That's all a soul tie is. It's God's place. It's not their place. It's not your place. It's not her place. It's God's place. And if you can align your life up where you are God's. You notice I didn't say anything after that. Whose are you? God's. Whose are you? God's. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he's going to add everything else you need. He's going to add. He knows what to add, and he knows what to take away. You don't got to worry about that. My hopes today in the Lord is that you open up your heart, and God begins to say, hey, it's time to back up a little bit from there. It's time to move a little bit closer to me. I believe God's going to reveal things in your heart today. And the thing about it is, all we have to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But the enemy has a very demonic plan through a soul tie. He has a purpose in a soul tie. A soul tie is something that he maneuvers in our life, even through situations that might seem very innocent, like friendships, like desires that are not even for bad things, but it can become a very bad thing for me. If I desire it above God, if I desire it above God. So in Ezekiel 13, I'm just going to read to you just really quickly about what God showed me of soul tie, the demonic plan of the enemy from a soul tie. I'm just going to pick and I'm not going to read all this because of time. It says, God began to tell Ezekiel to speak to a demonic plan that was against Israel, and it was a prophetic word that was coming out from people that, and this is really neat to me. It says, this is what they were saying to the children of Israel. They were saying things out of their own heart. You have, friends are good, but a lot of times what they speak to us is out of their own heart. Their own heart won't save you. Their own heart won't heal you. Their own heart won't bring you. Their own heart won't hold you together. God's will. So as they begin to speak these things, this is what, it's weird that this is what God began to accuse them of. It says, out of their own heart they prophesy. Hear the word of the Lord. So they're saying it not because God is saying it. They're saying it probably because they want to see Israel do well. Your friends and the people in your life, they want to see you do well. But what they're saying can be counteracting what God is trying to say to you. So God is telling you this morning, it is God's place to speak into your life. It is God's voice that holds your world together. It says, who follow their own spirit and they have seen nothing. So what it's simply saying is they're thinking what they think. They're saying what they say. They're hearing what they hear. And they're just sharing it with you. But can I tell you the truth? The Bible says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. If they're not somebody God has brought into your life to mentor you, can I tell you the truth? The enemy can create something right there that will bond you to what they're saying. And the only thing that will ever save you is the word of God. The word of God. It says, you have not gone into the gap to build a wall for the house of the Lord. I love that, because what they should have done if they thought these things is they should have went and interceded and prayed it for them. They should have been on their knees crying out to God, and God probably would have said, hey, that's not what I'm saying to them, so shut your mouth. But because they had their own thoughts and they had their own minds and they had their own will, they began to maneuver in Israel's life, and this is what God called it. God called it seduction. He said, you're seducing them. And I'm going to tell you, you have relationships and people and things that come into your life in such for such really good reasons, but they're soulish. They're soulish. And what they think and what they feel and what they know is not coming through what they've heard God. And if God is telling you something about somebody, you better be on your knees interceding before you ever go and say something to somebody else. Because I'm going to tell you, God might need somebody to pray for them. But they need to hear the voice of the Lord. They need to hear it. So God calls it seduction. So you go on over and then it begins to explain. This is so neat. I'm going to tell you, this is what a soul tie in the enemy's eyes looks like. It says in verse 18, it says, thus says the Lord God. It says, woe to the woman who sews magic charms on her sleeves and makes veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. The enemy is hunting your soul. The enemy is trying to cover your mind to make something that you can't hear, can't see, can't know, can't feel what God is needing you to hear and see and know and feel. If he can cover your eyes, he can get your soul. He can get your thoughts. He can get your mind. He can get your reactions. And it says, and thus says the Lord, the Lord God, woe to them, make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt the souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourself alive? Anything you put faith in that's not God's word, you're keeping it alive. Think about that statement. Anything you put faith in, you're keeping it alive. So if the enemy comes into you and says something through a friend, Not maliciously. But it's not God's will. You're keeping alive something that is not the plan of God. The plan of God for a lot of us is our flesh and our emotions and our thoughts to die. To not live. What part of us is to live? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. So it goes and it says, you will profane my name among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by you lying to my people who listens to you. I want you to understand something right there. The enemy wants to keep alive every part of the flesh that is burning inside of you, and he wants to cause to die every part of God that is inside of you, and he uses soul ties to do it. Why do we lean on people where we're weak? Because we can keep that flesh alive. We don't have to step in faith. We don't have to grow in knowledge. We don't have to learn to be unselfish. If we can lean on somebody that will put up with our selfishness, let me tell you something, we're going to stay selfish. And God does not want selfishness in us. If we can lean on people who coddle our fears, if we can lean on people and not have to step out in faith on our own, if we can lean on them, can I tell you, we are allowing through a tie of our soul for something to stay alive, which God intended to die. Intended to die. So the purpose of the soul tie in the enemy is to cause you to be something completely different than God wanted you to be. To be completely different than what God wanted you to be. And it's not because God is like, that's exactly what I said and that's exactly what I made. It's because God knows exactly what you need to be to walk you into what he's promised you. He knows what you need to be to walk you into what he promised you. Think back to Abraham and Lot. God came to Abraham and this is what he said. He said, leave your family. Leave your family and leave your household and go to a place that I tell you. That sounds wrong at times. You know, Abraham's dad had brought Lot down there with him. They had taken a part of the way journey. They didn't make the whole journey. So they got somewhere and they hung out for a while. And Abraham's dad died. So Abraham was kind of responsible for Lot. Can I tell you, worldly responsibilities can keep you tied to a level that will keep you from walking into what God wants you to walk in every day. Every day. Every day. And when God came and said, Abraham, leave it. God wasn't being mean to Lot. God wasn't being mean to Abraham. Those were two very godly people. The Bible said so. I said that right already, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. Two services, I get it mixed up. Lot was righteous. God called him righteous. Very godly men. But can I tell you, I don't believe Lot ever was in God's will to go where Abraham was going. That was Abraham's path. That was Abraham's path. That was Abraham's path. And I want you to stop in your life and think, am I following my path or am I following someone else's path? Am I walking where God has told me to go? Or because I can see God is moving on someone else's life in some other direction, I position myself over here because it's easier for me than to have to believe God for what he has told me. You see how easy it is to get bonded together? And how ugly for Abraham to let his daddy bring him and to leave Lot behind. That would have been socially ugly. But I'm telling you, you've got to care about the spirit more than you care about the flesh. You have got to care about what God says more than you care about what your neighbor says, your friend says, even your brother say. You've got to carry the voice of God as the active word in your life. And you have got to know the enemy's going to come and try to test it. And he'll use any means necessary. And people will be completely unaware. Completely unaware. Now, I'm just to say some things, and I want you to just say, I'm going to receive it. And if I don't believe it, I'm going to trust God to reveal it to me. I'm going to trust God to reveal it to me. And if he don't reveal it to you, well, you can just call me crazy. I'm fine. I'm fine with that. But I've got some things I've got to say this morning. This is not a fellowship-driven church. It's not. There are some fellowship-driven churches, and I think there's a purpose and a plan, and I'm not God, and that is good for them. But this is not a fellowship-driven church. This is a God-driven church. This is not a fellowship-centered church. We love you. I believe you love me. We're going to fellowship together, but we're going to do it around God. We're going to do it around God. Anytime you have a church that is fellowship centered, you've taken people and you've put them as an idol and you've moved God on the side and you say, we're going to throw you in a little bit. We're going to dash you on top a little bit, but we're going to make people be the center of this church. That is so warped. That is so warped. And then we use the excuse and we say, well, that was what was going on in Acts when everybody came together and they had fellowship. That is not what was going on. That is not what was going on. I'm going to read two scriptures and then I'm going to go there because I want to show you what was really going on. I want you to understand, this is a God-centered church and we fellowship around God. We get excited around God. We love God. We worship God. And we come together as one body, and Jesus is the head, and we lift him up. God does not want me to be like Miss McCray. I get aggravated at him sometimes. I say, you see her? She's smart. She's really smart. But can I tell you the truth? If I try to be like Miss McCray, I don't have unity with God. Do you know that? You know who I have unity with? Miss McCray. Miss McCray. But if Miss McCray tries to be like God, and if I try to be like God, you know what I have? I have unity with God, and I have unity with Miss McCray, because we both are like God. We both are like God. Some are a little ahead of us than others, but we are both trying to be like God. That's what you see in the New Testament church. You see unity and fellowship centered around God, and they didn't get it confused. And we are not a church that gets it confused. We center around God, and then he adds fellowship. He adds things as we can stay holy and committed to God. He's a good, good surgeon. He can come in and cut out and come in and add, and you can trust him along the way, but you got to make sure you are staying on that altar and letting him have it. All right, so I'm going to read to you some scriptures that proves this. I know some of you, man, last service, I could feel it. Some of you are like, I'm just going to prove it to you in the word, okay? In 1 John 1, 3 through 4, it says, that which you have seen and heard, we declare to you. So here's what happened. They have fellowshiped with Jesus. They have fellowshiped with the Holy Spirit. They have been a part of the New Testament church. They have witnessed and revealed it. And God has came and shown them some things. And it is awesome that you also may have fellowship with us. So they're inviting people into their fellowship. They're inviting people into what God is doing and what God is saying and where God is going. But this is what they say. But wait, you need to know what our fellowship is. We're not going to hang out and talk at the cars and just talk about everyday stuff. We're not just going to go eat and talk about the weather. They say, we're not just going to meet for coffee and you talk about your wife and I talk about my wife and we're going to see how much our wives bother us. I would never say that about husbands, ever. That's not what they're saying. They're saying you need to understand what we call fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and with Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Here's what they're saying. You can fellowship with Jesus like we do. And we will all join together. And we will get happy and full of joy together. And what will happen to your wife? God will make her better. God will make her better. You don't even have to say a word to me. I don't even got to know. I don't even have to be bonded to you in the emotional part. We can both come to God and see what God can do. I believe that is such a strong word in our lives right now. Because I'm telling you, God's wanting to take us somewhere. He's wanting to bring true fellowship to this church. He's wanting to bring true fellowship to our lives. He's wanting to bring about a higher level of worship to where things that we have leaned on before fall off because we're worshiping God. So in 1 John, I'm going to give you another one because sometimes you need two. 1 John 1, 5 through 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, I'll give you a picture, okay? It's giving you some direction. It says, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, who is the light? Jesus. Jesus. So it's a requirement. It says, if you walk where Jesus is lighting your path. Remember? The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. If you walk not where your buddy tells you to go, if you walk not where your mom tells you to go, if you walk not where people, if you walk in the light, if you walk where he directs you, if you walk where he is shining in the for your feet to follow, if you walk there as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. But I'm going to tell you what God is saying. If someone gets out of that light, you don't have fellowship. You can have correction. You can have mentorship. That's what Mr. Craig's going to come and really talk about tonight. But it says right here, we have fellowship with one another when we all walk in the light. When we all walk in the light. I'm going to tell you the truth. I trust the fellowship of God in the light. Do you? Man, I trust. Can I tell you, light and darkness have nothing in common. They have nothing in common. And if you are walking in the light, people can see your light. And they can get in the light of Jesus for them. And you can end up walking side by side with people. And you all have your own flashlight. And everybody's walking along where God is telling you to walk. But if you step into my light, if you try to get into my light, can I tell you the truth? It will not be your light. It will not be your light. So I want you to understand, that's why the Bible says, guard your heart. Because out of it flow some issues that you nor your friends could ever handle. He is the only one that can handle everything that we walk through. All right, so y'all still there? We're still here? All right, so soul ties bring us together with people, and they tie our will, and they tie our emotions, and they tie our thoughts, and they give us a false security. They keep us from really being able to dig in and find what God has for us. Now, this is different than mentorship or training, and Ms. McCray is qualified to come tonight and talk about that. I'm not so well qualified, but one day, if I keep on following the light, maybe God will use me there. But I want you to know that a mentor, think about Moses and Joshua. I love this thought. Moses was a mentor for Joshua. You know that. I mean, he mentored him. He trained him. He corrected him. He did all of these wonderful things that a mentor does. But you know what Joshua did? Joshua stayed in the tent even if Moses went out. That is so good to me. Think about that. Even when Moses kept on working and moving and maneuvering, a healthy mentoring relationship points somebody to God, not to you. So when you step out of the room, they have God more and more. That's healthy. If somebody has to walk beside you everywhere to find God, that's not healthy. That's not. So you're accountable with who you walk and how you walk. You're accountable. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever want a mentor, you better make sure you've been mentored. Because you are fooling yourself to think God would use you that way if you haven't been able to sit under that and be corrected and be humbled and that to be in your heart. My husband said, he found a really neat scripture this morning. It said, the way to test a man's heart, a way to test a man's heart is to praise him. I'm not going to share that, but I think that's super neat. Think about that. In mentorship, if you're needing praise, if it's coming across as praise to you, that could be a test for your heart. Because only one person deserves praise. Who is that? God. That's God. That's God. So that's where you would have to guard your heart. See, that's not for you. That's for God. So it's all, every part of relationships have to be guarded. And they have to be put under the careful inspection of the Holy Spirit every day to make sure that things that need to be severed are severed and things that need to be tied a little bit closer to him are tied a little bit closer to him, because he's very faithful to know how to do that. Okay, Hebrews, Colossians 1:16-18 says this. Now, if you don't think you're supposed to be tied to God, I'm fixing to just prove it to you. Okay, there's so many scriptures. As I begin to study, and there are almost every scripture says something about you being tied to God. I can give you one scripture. It says it 7 times. Okay, you are to be tied to God. You are to be wholly, solely, completely tied to God. Colossians 1:16-18 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things that were created through him," and if you have something, circle that. I have it in my Bible circled. "And for him." Who were you made for? Him. You were truthfully created for one purpose, and that's to bring fellowship and relationship to God. If you don't believe that, you believe a lie. And if you think that God is not a wonderful person to have a relationship with, I invite you this morning. Let's come in. Let's come in. Let's begin to just see what it's like to have a relationship with God. I'm going to tell you, the God that I know can outdo anybody in any level in communication with one word. He blows my mind all the time. On the way to church this morning, I've already gotten rid of all of my soul ties. Let me tell you, I did that last week. I went to Kairos. I got rid of all of them. And on the way to church this morning, God revealed something in my heart that was a soul tie. He said, you just wait, you get church. We're going to handle that all this morning. I want you to know he is very good. He is very good at tying you up to him and communicating with you and being something more than anyone else can ever be. So it says, and in with all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. Again, in him all things consist. Every part of your life needs to consist in God. I know the world, I mean, people are like, they're crazy Christians. I'm going to tell you, it is a scary thing to let your life not consist in God. Who can vouch for that? Who has kept any part of their life out of the will of God, out of the voice of God? Did that thing die or come alive? It got warped. It changed. And it didn't change in a good way. The light is the best place to keep all of your life, because he is the only one that can hold it all together. And he is the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he may have preeminence or superiority or the most important or the prominent place in your life. What that means is soul tied to God. That's what that means. Soul tied to God. Let me tell you what a marriage perfectly looks like. Husband and wife as one, joined to God completely. Have you ever tried to do your marriage without God? It don't end well. Or it don't go well. But I can tell you, anything that you keep out from being tied, any relationship, any thought process, any part of your children's life, anywhere that you keep it out of God's hands, even covertly or in over, any way you do that, it's not going to bring life to things that need life. It's going to bring death to things that God wants to live. You can't do it right, but God can. God can. Hebrews 1:3 is what I've been saying this whole time. It's the Son who holds up the whole world by the power of his word. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we for him. That almost sounds like baby talk, but just say, we for him. You're for him. You were created for him. You weren't created for anything else but to bring him pleasure, to communicate with him, and to fulfill what's on his mind in this earth. His mind in your mind is a complete mind. His mind in your mind is perfect. Your mind and anybody else's mind is a mess. It's a mess. It is a mess. And so I want you to have a real understanding. I want you all to close your eyes just for a second. Everybody close your eyes just for a second. I want you to say, Father, I give you the right today to inspect my life, inspect my relationships, to reveal to me things that have been tied up, that have been warped, that has been soulishly connected, that you want me to set free from. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that, I believe God will do that for you today. If you prayed that, I believe God wants to do that for you today. 1 John 15:1 talks about vine and branches. And I just want to give you a picture right here. God talks about we're the vine. He's the vine and we're the branches. He's the vine and we're the branches. And that's such a good scripture. And there's so many places in there. If you say, you know, am I supposed to be connected to God? It says so many times, it is where you get your life from. Get your life from me. If you live in me, you will give much fruit. It gives you all these, this is where. But can I tell you what a lot of times we do? We try to join fruit, because we think it makes us stronger. But can I tell you, two fruits that are joined together is warped fruit. Charmin, will you put that picture up? I just want you to get a visual picture of what your calling and somebody else's calling, without the Holy Spirit joined together, it creates warped fruit. Will you show a picture of that? And God does not want our lives to be warped. That's why when you plant plants, you plant them in. You see that? Does that look natural? Does that look right? You could eat it. It might even taste good. But I'm going to be honest with you, that's what our life looks like. When through the flesh, we try to join it together with other people, it's warped. And a lot of people, I'm going to tell you, around you are looking at your life and saying, something's just not right. Can I tell you what's not right? That apple and that apple should both be connected to the vine. That fruit should be coming off the vine. That fruit should be solely connected to God. Individual in personality, individual in its emotions, every part of it lined up with God. And when you see that, what happens is God begins to birth a place in our life and we can grow from there. But that fruit can't grow much more. It will tear it apart. It'll break it. It'll ruin it. And God does not want that with our lives. God does not want, that's why God says right here continuously, get your life from me. Get your life from me. Get your thoughts. Get your emotions. Get your security. Get your humph. Get it from me. He can give it to you in such a way. I love what T.D. Jakes said. I think that is so powerful. I love I get to teach with T.D. Jakes this morning. I think that is awesome. You can teach with anybody. You can pull in. I'm telling you, this is what the church is saying. Now, this is for the body. A lot of times if I say it, you don't believe me. So I like to bring in reinforcements to let you know this is what God is saying. And this is good. And it is not something where God says, it says, you know why I cut back? It says that in verse 15. It says, you know why I come back? It says, I cut back so you can bear more. God cuts things out of our lives, not because they're bad or we're bad. It's so that we can bear more. So that we can be healthy. So that we can be strong. So back real quick to Abraham and Lot. Why would God tell Abraham to go on without Lot? Because God wanted Abraham healthy. God wanted Abraham to be able to walk and not lean. Let me tell you why else I think. I think God wanted Abraham and Sarah to be joined. Anywhere you allow soul ties in your life, your marriage hurts. You need to stop and think about that. Your marriage hurts. Any relationships that you get your emotions and you give your thoughts and you bond together, your wife or your husband suffers. And if you can't figure out what's going on in my marriage right now, we love God. Can I tell you the truth? Today you need to let God speak to you in that area and let him reveal. I don't know. I have no idea. I am not saying this because I know. What I'm telling you is God knows. God knows. Your children suffer. See, God created family for a very important purpose. And there's a very important season that God wants your children to be raised in. If you're giving your emotions and your thoughts, if you're giving those out and God's wanting you to really train and be present and be a part, can I tell you that your family suffers? You know who else suffers? You suffer. God has such incredible plans for you, like Abraham. God wants to speak to you in all different seasons and give you greater vision and greater vision. And if you allow that to be a place where it's tied to someone else, you suffer. And I'm going to tell you the truth, even God suffers. God loves you. He's jealous for you. We love that song. God's jealous for me. You know, we sing that song. He is jealous for me. That's why I don't sing, but then we sing that song. Can I tell you, that is really good when we're thinking about how much he loves us. But can I tell you, God is jealous for you. He wants all of you. And when you keep on giving it away, what happens is that hurts God. It grieves him. So soul ties are an important process in all of our lives. You know, we can look at situations and think they look healthy, but they really do not. The David and Jonathan relationship was warped. It really was. I'm just going to tell you, people think I'm not social. I'm real social, but I'm going to tell you, I'm God first. That's my personality. That's where God has strengthened me. I know where my source comes from. I'm God first. And when you see things that just seem to be joint fruit and wart. Can I tell you that two very godly people can have a very demonic soul tie? They're not demonic. The enemy knew how to come into their weaknesses and tie them all up and to hinder. I'm going to tell you, Saul's future was not, Jonathan's future was not death. That was not God's plan. Because Jonathan could not get his soul tied to God. Things that needed to live died. And things that needed to die lived. And it created something very manipulative and very unhealthy. And let me tell you, I believe it kept David from walking into the promise. I believe he would have walked faster. It hindered him. I believe David had to sever that so he could walk into what God was calling him to. And if you are in a position where your path seems stalled and you don't understand why, my prayer for you this morning is God begins to reveal where you are tied to things that are not God's. If you don't believe me, I'm going to let Pastor Morris just give us a little word. Can we do that? Can Pastor Morris just kind of explain that to us? Because I think it's important that we know things that look sometimes healthy are not godly.
All right, look at this verse, 1 Samuel 23:17. This is Jonathan. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you." Now watch, "You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father knows that." Whoever promised Jonathan the number two place? Huh? He knew David was the anointed leader. He knew David was probably going to kill Saul. But here's what he figured. If Saul kills David, I'll be king. If David kills Saul, I'll be number two. I'm going to keep both ends helping. And you don't think David knew this? When David's running from Saul, one of these times he's running from Saul, let me read you what he wrote. Psalm 41:6. "And if he comes to see me," he's talking about Jonathan, "if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself, and when he goes out, he tells it." He goes and tells where I am. Watch verse 9. "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." In Psalm 55, he says, "The guy that made a covenant with me," but let me read it to you out of the message. "And this, my best friend, betrayed his best friend." His life betraying his word. Now in the New King James, it says, "broke our covenant." He broke our covenant. "All of my life, I've been charmed by his speech, never dreaming he'd turn on me. And his words, which were music in my ears, turned to daggers in my heart." I'm sorry I ruined your series. I'm sorry. But I don't like that statement right there. I don't like anybody saying to me, "Pastor Robert, I'm here to serve you, and you're the number one guy, and I'll be the number two. I'll serve you, and I'll be your armor bearer. I'll be your..." I don't need that. I need you to be his armor bearer. I need you to serve God, not me.
I'm telling you, it's warped. You need to know that. God is the only one that we can tie to, that it comes out as pure fruit. And it's a strength in our life. I believe without a doubt, this is what was going on between Abraham and Lot. I believe that God knew. And Jonathan, I think, was a good guy. I just do. I don't think that he knew the devil's plan for soul ties. I don't think he stood back and knew that God knew what was going on, and the enemy had a plan too, and that he knew that if he tied himself to David, that would go on. But that's what David finally learned. He said, my soul will magnify God. My soul will glorify God. And I'm going to tell you, God is the only one your soul can be tied to for you to make it to the promise that God wants you to walk into. I want everybody to turn with me, if you will, over to Genesis, because I want to show you this. I believe it's keeping destiny out of our life. I believe Jonathan really didn't believe God had anything for him. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe a lot of us in here believe that God might not have for us something that's good. or he might have told us a long time ago, and it's kind of hard to keep that alive in the process of freedom, of allowing the good to be prepared in our hearts. But you can trust him. You can trust him. If you begin to trust him, what you will find out is he really has your heart in his hands. He really has your best interest at heart. See, in Genesis 11, it says this. This is what God told Abraham. He said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. That was a step of obedience for Abraham. God was telling him, I want you to cut some ties here. I want you to walk some places where you'll just walk with me. Abraham, me and you need to grow. You need to understand I got some great plans for you, but I can only give you part of it now, because what's in you will only be able to hold on to the part. But you get a little bit closer with me, and I'm going to unfold more. I'm going to give more of the promise. I'm going to be able to speak more into your soul. See, when I cut off a little bit of that flesh, what's going to happen is your soul, your heart is going to be able to receive it. But see, Abraham couldn't leave him. Abraham felt tied to him. Does anybody feel tied to people? Sometimes we like that tie. Sometimes we don't even know how to break that tie. He found himself in a situation like he found himself time and time again in his life. People wanted to be a part of the promise, but what they just didn't understand, God had a promise for them too. God had a promise for you too. It just takes a seeking and finding. So as Abraham began, he said, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And then it said, Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother. So at first, Lot just kind of decided he was going, it looks like. But then Abraham kind of liked Lot being there. How many of you have been there? Sometimes people just walk beside you and they get all involved in you, but eventually you kind of like it. It's easier not to have to do offering sometimes for me. That's a personal thing. You know, it's easier not to have to stretch myself. Can I tell you that's weakness? You gotta be honest with yourself. That's weakness. God knows exactly how to strengthen us. See, God wanted time with Abraham. But I believe God wanted time with Abraham and Sarah. See, God knew there was going to be a time where both of them had to come into agreement to believe for some things that were completely impossible. It was impossible. I'm only 37, and I'm going to tell you, I pray it's completely impossible to have a baby right now. I just do. I'm telling you, I feel too old. I can't imagine being there and desiring something for so long to a point to where there is no hope. But I'm going to tell you, unless you will walk with God alone, there is no hope. Unless you are willing to lay down your will and say, God, if it's me and you together, it's me and you together, I'm going to walk it out with you. There is no hope anywhere else. He is the only one that can speak to you and fulfill it through you. So it is the love of God that spoke that to Abraham. But I'm going to tell you, it's the love of God that cuts things out of our life, that strengthens our flesh. And as they begin to journey, you know what happened? Lot's journey slowed down. He ended up being in Egypt. And I think one of the reasons is he probably was beside somebody that said, I'm getting thirsty. I'm getting hungry. Let's head over to Egypt. Can I tell you, that's probably not what God would have said. Do you know what God probably would have said? Go over and dig here. I mean, go over and throw a spoon in a hole or something. God has these majestic ways of causing things to come out of nothing. But a lot of times we don't stop and give God that place because we don't allow our soul. God alone, God alone, God alone, God alone. That sounds lonely, Crystal. Years ago, God told me this. I'm going to tell you, it's the best advice. I take it all the time, almost every day. God said, Crystal, lonely is a lie. It's a lie. Think about that. You're never alone. When I get in a situation, I'm like, God, I'm standing up here all alone. He's like, lonely is a lie. What are you talking about? I'm right there with you. lonely is a lie. Lonely means you are not joined to God. It means something about your soul has tied to something in this world, and you need to find a way to cut it out and grab a hold to God and tie yourself to Him solely. Because you are never alone. As Abraham and Lot continued to walk, it came to a place to where Abraham was seeking God, and Lot was just reaping the blessing. You realize that? I mean, Lot was like, Abraham was building altars, and all Lot was, and that didn't help Lot. Can I tell you the truth? It didn't help Lot to reap blessings and not have to sow the seed. It didn't help Lot to get into a position, because what happened is, when Lot got to a time when he needed to seek God, when he needed to be able to do things, he couldn't do them for himself because he had got out into waters following somebody else, and they were over his head, and he had not been strengthened in the Lord. Abraham was not Lot's God. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you're using for God, it is not God. There is one God, and Him alone you serve. Cut ties in your life for your sake. Abraham probably would have flourished in that area. Man, it was selfish of Abraham. Lot would have probably flourished. It was selfish for Abraham to take Lot. But when two walk together and they join things that are not by the Spirit, you know what happens? It's warped. It's not God. It's warped. It's not God. So God came to Abraham's life, and this is what he said. He said, Abraham, see, strife started to come through, and Abraham and Lot did not have strife. See, what was under them had strife. What are you covering? I'm covering four little kids, and I can tell you that when my mind is soul tied to God, when my mind is connected to God, I'm in perfect peace, and peace flows out of me. That's what the Bible says. Keep your mind on Him. Yeah, perfect peace. When my mind is tied to other things, you know what flows out of me? Anger, strife. You can ask them about yesterday. They'll tell you, I'm sure. When my mind is not soul tied to God, what flows out of me flows into other people and other things. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not covering. I'm not being what God is. I'm not being a good steward of what God has told me to be a steward of. I'm accountable for what I'm tied to. I'm accountable. Abraham and Lot were accountable. And God came in, He said, it's time to separate. And Abraham loved, I believe, Lot, and I believe he loved God enough. But he came and did something that was very, very, very hard for him, because I think he knew Lot was a little bit weak. And the person that you're thinking right here, God, if I sever some things emotionally and spiritually, how? Can I tell you the truth? You're not their God. You're not their God. You're not their God. You're not their God. And the worst thing you could ever do is stay solely tied to them, because they might not ever find their God that way. And they need Him. They need Him a lot more than you do. So as Abraham in his heart separated things, and he separated them unto God, Lot went and moved to an area that he could see. He moved to things that were good that he could see. But here's what God told Abraham. I want you to say, I'm Abraham in the story. I'm Abraham in the story. God has given me a promise. God has given me a purpose. God has set me apart. God is telling me this morning to sever some things. He's going to break off some things. God is going to use this morning to line me up. And the Lord said to Abraham, or go ahead and say, the Lord said to me, I personalized the Bible. After I have separated from this, I can lift up my eyes and I can look from the place where I am now. I can look to the north. I can look to the south. I can look to the east. I can look to the west. And all that I see, God will give to me and to my descendants forever. That's God's promise to you. See, soul ties keep us from it. God has good things for you. God has a great purpose for you. But we got to cut. We got to cut. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to get into a moment to where it's you and God, God and you. You and God, God and you. A lot of people in here would say, I would never smoke. And so you can use addictions. A lot of people, and I've had almost every addiction in the book, you can use them. And if addiction is what you're tied to this morning, can I tell you the truth? God can break it this morning. God can break it this morning. But I don't want the church cedar to sit there and say, well, I'm not tied to anything, because I'm going to tell you, who do you pick up your phone and call when life gets tough? Who do you run to when you got to do something that you are terrified about doing to get affirmation and to get strength? What do you post on Facebook to get 150 likes so that you have the ability to be able to like yourself? I'm just honest, we all have it. Every one of us have people and things that we're tied to. And I believe God this morning is wanting to sever it. So I want us to just say, Father, I ask you to reveal to me in this moment, by the Holy Spirit, give me eyes that see and ears that hear what the Spirit is saying. Where am I tied that's not tied to you? And let him speak to you for a minute about it. I want you to raise your hand if he highlighted in something in your heart that you know that God is saying, hey, I'm jealous for you there. I'm jealous for you there. I long to be there with you. I long to hold you in a place of safety in that area, and you're unprotected there. I want to be your strength, because only I can get you to a place to where your strength is strong. And I want you to picture yourself. I want you to say out of your mouth, say, I loose. Oh, that's weak. Come on, say, I loose the bonds that the enemy has tied me to. That or that person any longer, in Jesus' name, it is severed by the word of the Lord and the blood of Jesus that has come upon my life and sets me free. It's not just I'm not just free in the natural, I'm free in the spiritual. Demons, do you hear that? I'm free. You have no hold in that area of my life. I am bought with a price. And you are not connecting me to that or that person any longer. In Jesus' name. And I want you to stand up, and I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm going to tell you, it is that easy to separate. But the truth is, we don't walk around separated from everything. We have to be connected. It is the only way that we will ever, 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 ever make it to the other side, is if we are bonded to our Maker, our Creator, our King. So I want us to confess. And then I'm going to ask Daquita to come up, and we're going to sing that song again. And as we sing that song again, I want you to picture your hand up, clasping onto God's, pulling you in. I want you to see him bonded to you this morning to make sure that you know when you go out, you're His. You're His. You're His. So I want you to close your eyes when I do it again. I want you to say, Father, right now, I ask you to bond on earth to me. Bond to me in my emotions. Bond to me in my mind. Bond to me in my thoughts. Bond to me in my spirit. Bond to me in every area that you created me to be. And help me to bond to you. The greatest level of worship, God, I can give is falling into your arms and completely being safe, being secure, being attached, being yours. I today confess out of my mouth, I believe in my heart that I'm bonded to you, not just in the natural, but in the supernatural, in the spirit. My spirit, your spirit, my spirit. We are one. We are one.